And we are live. Welcome to the Red Bull Red Zone podcast. My name is Will. You can find me on Twitter at Live on That Swing.
Yo, yo, it's Mac. I'm back again. You can find me on Twitter at AZ Sports Fiend.
And I'm Jackie. You can find me on Twitter at JSanDiego. That's two O's. And we have called it Emergency Podcast because there's a whole lot of drama in the valley right now.
Yep. Surprise. Oh. Surprise minisode, motherfuckers. Because you guys just will not calm the fuck down.
For good reason.
For good reason. So, for anybody who has been under a rock for the last few weeks, Kyler deleted all his shit off Instagram. There's dubious reports coming out that he's like some kind of deep cancer, and we're only now hearing about this. It's just a clusterfuck, people. So we're just going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what's going on, what we think. I don't have any notes, so this is just going to be entirely off the cuff.
That's the way we like to do it around here. But yeah, I mean, it's been a hell of a ride for us Cardinal fans, you know, from seeing the Rams win a fucking Super Bowl. And then everything else, it just seems like it's almost daily now where we're hearing unnamed sources this, unnamed sources that, coming in and slandering Kyler one way or another. I don't know, is there something you want to, is there anything that you kind of want to hit on first, Jackie? Is there someone you think deserves more blame, or like how are you feeling over here?
I can tell you who's to blame. It's the media that just keeps pushing this narrative that Kyler's a shitty person and a shitty teammate. And quite honestly, I'm really getting sick of it. I really want to start calling out some of these shitty ass beat writers that just keep slandering our boy. Because according to players and more credible sources, this is all kind of not true. So I don't know who, if like front office is feeding these beat writers some kind of crap to push some kind of narrative so they won't extend Murray. There's a lot of conspiracy theories going on right now.
There's enough of a concerted effort here that I think it has to be the front office. And this is an analogy that nobody would want to make, but it reminds me of the conspiracy theory last year that people had about Watson. Oh, they're just trying to like lower his trade value. It's like, that's not how you do it. This is how you do it. This fucking like team cancer, oh, he's a mopey bitch, oh, he's talking to his girlfriend in the locker room. That's how you lower a dude's value, and it's awful. It's stupid.
That was Dan Bickley, right, who said that on the radio, and I think Chuck picked up on it, and that just kind of went off. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that was Bickley.
As Kyler's girlfriend, I would like to apologize. Since
yeah, I mean,
I don't know if it was Bickley. I don't know who it was, but...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Bickley. I'm at this point where it's like, if it's not coming from a former player, if it's not coming from a current player or former coach, then what the fuck does it matter? What is the point of this? All it's doing is, if it's coming from our front office, it's obviously a smear campaign for Keim to really not try to pay Kyler this year. And if that's the case, and Michael Bidwell finds out about that, he needs to be gone. Steve Keim needs to be gone on the next flight. Get the fuck out of here. Send him to Cancun. Because really, I know someone in our group chat brought it up. Kyler and his team could be behind this because he's asking for pity. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's a stretch.
I got some stretch takes too, but I don't know what pity is going to do for Murray.
And it's just crazy because we don't hear factual stuff at all. You know, everything we're hearing is unnamed this, unnamed that.
To be fair, that is just kind of the name of the game with the media. Because if you name your sources, then your source isn't a source anymore. So, I mean.
Yeah, but you could just be hearing shit. I mean, the Chris Morton thing that came out. I 100% believe Chris Morton heard that from somebody, you know, within the organization. It could be, you know, a mole that's in there, someone who is either under Keim, around Keim, where Keim himself wouldn't put himself in that position to be, you know, caught doing something like that. But, I mean, it all boils down to all the news coming out that, what was it, Keim wasn't comfortable giving him a contract extension this offseason. Isn't that what we heard early in the offseason? Am I mistaken?
Which is fucking stupid because he's the best homegrown Cardinal we've ever had. I mean, all we ever get is these sloppy seconds. We get our Kurt Warners, we get our Carson Palmers, and it's like the fact that we have a guy who at his peak is a top five quarterback and we're not considering paying him? That's fucking nuts. And I hate that people are even considering this because it's so fucking stupid.
So first 3 years in the league, Kyler Murray's increased his completion percentage, TD percentage, INT percentage, yards per game, passer and quarterback rating, yards per attempt. Each of the last three seasons, he's increased that. It's like, what else do you guys want? He took a historically bad offensive team to, 11-5, 11-6, and a playoff run in his third year. Sure, he might not be the leader right now at age 24 that maybe we all want him to be, but I'd rather still have his talent, and he can still build up that other kind of it factor between the ears. You can still build that up with the right coaching next to you.
And here's the thing that bugs me about fan culture and just sports culture as a whole. The value of loyalty is severely overplayed because you'll see these guys who are like, you know, these quiet, loyal players, and people are like, wow, this guy never complains. He never does anything. But then the second you see one of these guys complains, it's like all hell breaks down. It's like, I want a guy with some self-respect who knows he's in a bad situation and wants that to change.
Yeah, and it needs to change. Otherwise, he's going to get the hell out of town, and then we're back to fucking square one.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a quarterback who is happy sitting at home right now. If he is he displaying it the way, you know, 40-year-old white guys, 50-year-old white guys wanted to? No, this is the era we're in now, though. You know, it's social media. He's trying to make a statement here. And honestly, I don't even believe that it's coming directly from Kyle. It's a lot of the shit's his agent-driven nowadays, you know? So that's all they're trying to, it seems, stir up. But what I read, I know people, you know, the collapse, everything wants to put that on Kyler. But the fact still remains, the Cardinals were averaging over 30 points per game when it was Kyler and D-Hop on the field together this last year. That's from Kyle Odegaard. And this is another stat I saw. During the playoff game, Kyler Murray was pressured 42.1% of the time, his pressure rate. That was the highest of his career in the first half. So that was his first half pressure rate. When you're getting pressured that much by that front seven of Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and those guys, and guys like Christian Kirk, AJ Green aren't stepping up and making those plays, it's going to make you look bad. So I wouldn't even be surprised if Kyler feels like he's scapegoated out here with all this bullshit narratives going on.
I mean, he has the media. He has every right to feel that way because he is being scapegoated in this. And it's like, what did you expect him to do out there? Your best two, like, actual receivers are Christian Kirk and AJ Green, neither of whom, I mean, they have their moments in the regular season, but they're not the kind of guys who are going to produce that way in the postseason. I mean, fuck, I don't want to see AJ Green in a Cardinals jersey again, and I don't know if I want to see Kirk in a Cardinals jersey again.
Yeah, I mean, the most reliable guy they had was 31-year-old Zach Ertz. I mean, and he couldn't give you separation on a 40-yard dash if he tried. There was nobody on the team. Rondell Moore was banged up. I mean, he also wasn't used the way we would have hoped. But this team, you know, as much as we thought this wide receiver room was, you know, one of the best, you know, Cardinals ever, there's a reason why the Bengals were willing to let A.J. Green walk and basically promote T. Higgins from underneath of him. I mean, Steve Kime has his work cut out for him this offseason, that's for fucking sure, because he's definitely not going anywhere as of right now, it looks like.
So what do you guys make of him scrubbing his quote unquote unquote scrubbing his Instagram?
People are over, like, this has happened several times over the last few off seasons, and people keep having the same response, and I don't get why. It's a contract move. He's trying to look like he's mad, and he's trying to, like,
create leverage.
Yeah, he's trying to create leverage and just get a higher deal. I mean, we saw the same thing. I was going to say Julio, but I think he actually got traded. It's happened before, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, it happened last year with Chandler Jones, if I'm not mistaken. was it last year or the year before? But and I obviously, I mean, it's kind of disappointing to see as a fan from the outside because, you know, we're just hearing all these fucking rumors. And the thing is with Kyler, I think that him and his agent got to realize is that Kyler has all the leverage here to begin with.
Yeah.
When Steve Keim drafts quarterbacks top 10, you know, 10th overall, and then the very next year, first overall, that gives Kyler all the leverage in the world because Keim is tied to Kyler. Kyler's not going anywhere without Keim fucking losing his job. And I think Kyler and his agent have to know that and see that and just realize that it's going to come in due time. Maybe he wasn't happy with the end of the year meetings, how they went. And I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes when you're a professional athlete and you're the quarterback of one of these 32 teams out here. Sometimes you got to be pushed a certain way to get the message across. And maybe that's just something that he didn't appreciate. And maybe that's why he did feel scapegoated. Something was said in there. But I am one firm believer that Kyler Murray, he's gotten better each of the 3 years, and he's only going to get better in year four. It comes down, it's not just him. It's Cliff has to be better. Steve Keim also has to be better. He's got to build a fucking roster where it's not like every offseason we're going into, okay, now we're going to be losing these pieces and we need, you know, massive trades to kind of to help us and a lot of stopgap guys. We don't have these rookies coming in here. You don't have these rookies coming in here doing a damn thing. So, and
the way he drafts makes it so we have to keep filling in these gaps with like these old disgruntled veterans who want these big ass contracts. Like Jordan Hicks should not have seen a contract as big as he had. It's because of Keim's piss poor drafting that we had to pay that dude that much.
Or even have to draft two linebackers back to back years. When you already drafted Hassan Reddick, you know, a couple years prior. It's either the on-field, there's some disconnect obviously between Keim and what's going on the field as well with even Vance Joseph. I mean, when he comes out and says Zaven Collins is going to be the starter from day one and he looks like a fool because he doesn't start one game, there's definitely something there that either something that the scouting department's seeing that the coaches aren't seeing. Because, I mean, you have all these wide receivers. I know we saw a tweet recently naming off all the receivers that Keim drafted. And, folks, it's not pretty. So
it's awful.
I'm all for trading this, 23rd overall pick for a proven wide receiver. I don't, is that kind of the route you guys want to go? I know that's what, you know, we were kind of talking last episode.
That's how I'm feeling. Either a proven receiver or a proven
cornerback.
Or cornerback.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst, I had like a scary thought today, and this will almost certainly not happen, but I thought it'd be funny if it did. What if he tries to do a Jordan Love situation?
Draft another quarterback?
22nd pick, we draft Kenny Pickett.
No, Keim better be fired before fucking the 7-second TV delay goes in. Yeah.
Yeah. Personally, go there and whoop his ass.
I think, but it's stupid that people want him out. Like there are people who want Kyler out in this situation. So, like I'm looking at the list of like free agent quarterbacks. I want you to guess how many of these dudes actually started this year. Like I'm not talking injury replacement starting. I'm talking like period started.
Are you asking us to answer before you list them?
Well, I just want you to guess how many of these dudes actually were the starter on this list.
Four? I don't know.
Two?
Correct. There were only... Wait, no, there's three. So you have Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right in the middle.
You have Ryan Fitzpatrick, you have Andy Dalton, and you have Jameis Winston. Those are your only three starting
quarterbacks. Oh, and this is... you're not trading for a quarter. Trading for a quarterback, you're not fucking bringing in a free agent quarterback. You're not drafting. Kyler's your guy. Kyler.
I know, before but I'm saying like any, gone, I'm Keim saying that anybody gone. who wants yeah, yeah. him out,
who wants
right
to make a deal.
Stupid.
Well, I mean, you see these fucking idiots online like hyping Colt McCoy, like just because he went 2-1 during our hottest stretch of the year. Everyone act. There's people out there who act like, you know, he could come in and be a better
guy.
quarterback than Kyler Murray when we have 11 years of evidence that says he's a backup quarterback and he did his role great. Three games, he went 2-1. You're not going 11-5, 11-6 with Colt McCoy.
Exactly. And it drives me up the wall. The thing Kyler needs to work on is he needs to work on his mentality after injuries, because after he gets injured, he plays scared. And I've noticed that over the last 2 years. Like, he'll ball the fuck out, then he gets injured, then it's just he's not the same anymore. And I think he needs to work on that mentality.
Yeah.
I think Cliff also designs plays a little bit differently when he comes back from injury, in my perspective. But
that's probably
kind of protects him a little bit. I would like to see him work on a sideline demeanor a little bit, so that way no one in the national media can pick apart his body language, and then we have to hear about it. That just
it's there's a different way this is discussed with non-black athletes, and I know that's
I'm diving head first into it.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady throws a tablet. I mean, fucking Marino used to yell at his receivers if there was an interception thrown, even if it was his fault. I mean, people just want a target on the backs of these athletes, man. I mean,
did you see that tweet? Was it yesterday from that Dove Kleiman or whatever the fuck his name is, talking about his body? And I didn't know if he was sarcastic or not, because I thought Kyler had a pretty good body. I mean, he's mad after an INT, but he's not crying by himself. And he's literally, I think the next tweet was Kyler trying to hype up his teammates on the fucking sideline. And he's like acting like he was a negative. Like, some of these agendas, I just don't understand to begin with. You might not like the way Kyler goes out and handles adversity. That's fine, you know? But this whole organization didn't handle adversity very well. Starting from the top down. I mean, Michael Bidwell has enabled Steve Keim to run this organization like it's his own fucking, you know, jungle gyms over here. This was his first winning seasons out of his last 6 years. He started, 9 years on the job now, has one playoff win. His first 3 years on the job, they had winning records. Goes 5 years without a winning record. This past year, they go 11-6. But in the meantime, how many ex-Cardinal players came out and was shitting on your organization, Michael Bidwell? Honestly, like, it felt like there was almost...
And Steve Keim.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially Steve Keim. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, you might disagree with what Tyrann Mathieu said. But when you got, Rashard Jefferson, I believe, or you had some of the guys talking about, you hear all the time, snakes in the grass, this and that. Not saying I agree with Patrick Peterson either, but there's a lot of smoke around. You can tell when players don't respect a general manager. And it's not just the guys who are off this roster. I'm sure there are guys on this roster who kind of saw the disrespect. And so it's also Michael Bidwell enabling Steve Keim for this many years to do what he's done and basically form this team as a stopgap team. It was pretty clear last offseason he tried to go all in. And now this year, he can maneuver around the cap, but there's going to be a lot of moves and restructuring that he needs to do.
Yeah, but according to Chuck Harris, we can't make the cap situation work, yet he also says the cap is a myth.
You just hear a million different things with these people, man. It's stupid.
Yeah, Chuck Harris has been the ringleader of all the negativity, and then you have the Johnnies stirring shit up. And what sucks is that those accounts get national attention on, like, the Pat McAfee show. Like, he used both of their tweets in talking about Kyler, and it's like, they don't represent us.
No, those guys aren't dialed in. No, fuck no. Especially Johnny. I think the PHNX Cardinals fucking Twitter account's been getting a lot of hell recently for them kind of trying to stir the pot a little bit too much. But, that's just who they are and what they do. I don't follow them, so I don't see all the shit, but I just see people fucking bashing on them. So, I mean, you got to also take everything with a grain of salt for sure. I mean, there's people have had these agendas since basically he got drafted, and now people are coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, I showed you or I told you, this wouldn't work between this parent, Cliff and Kyler. And it's in reality, they still went 11-6. They dealt with a ton of fucking injuries down the stretch. This team was fairly deep to start, I thought, but in positions where you couldn't afford injuries, we had injuries. And that's more times than not, that's going to fucking derail you, because I believe the Rams and Bengals only had one guy between them on the injury report headed into the Super Bowl, while I know back half of our season, we had, you know, fucking multiple pages worth, it seemed like.
Yeah, we had CVS fucking receipts worth of injuries. Right? Just couldn't hold up down the stretch, which, you know, it happens. It's always the healthiest team that wins the Super Bowl or the most stacked team. And I think if we're trying to get there next year, we got to do what the Rams did and just stack. And even the Rams won with the stacked team this year. Tampa Bay won with the stacked team the year prior. And Kansas City won with the stacked team the year before that. Yeah, so there's a trend going on. So let's go all in.
And let's be real here. The refs handed it to LA anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, as much as, like, we shit on the Rams and don't like them, you know, I got to give a shout-out to their fucking GM. He went out at the trade deadline, went and got Odell Beckham and fucking Von Miller, and both those guys were pretty huge in the fucking playoffs.
Well,
you know,
wasn't Odell – I thought he was, a waiver wire pickup. Wasn't he a waiver wire pickup?
I don't know. It was still mid-season, and if he was a waiver wire pickup, a lot of other teams had a shot to get him as well.
If that was us picking him up, I mean,
because we were here talking on the podcast, entering the trade deadline, saying how Kime needs to fucking do something. Needs to show up the D line at least, bring in a vet, you know, and nothing. He just wrote it. It's like you can't go all in the offseason, and then you have all these fucking injuries, you know, and you have Malcolm Butler retire, and you're seeing Robert Alford go down, but you don't make a fucking move to really, you know, give that locker room a boost that, honestly, that locker room needed at the trade deadline. Zach Ertz was a little bit before the deadline, and that was, you know, to bring in for Max Williams. But at the end of the day, the Rams did what they wanted to do, and I'll take that every day if I'm a Cardinal fan. I'd trade all these fucking picks, dude. Trade them all. I don't give a fuck. If it brings one Super Bowl championship here, it's worth it. It's worth it. And, yep, it's close.
I've been saying it on Twitter for, the past month or two, but at least we got the Suns.
As
Coyotes and D-backs fan, thank God we have the Suns. Yeah. And an ASU fan. Jeez. My life. No wonder I'm an alcoholic.
See, I don't get what...
Damn it, Bobby.
Going off the subject first, I don't get why they're keeping Herm right now. Because, I mean, he hasn't delivered enough for him to avoid this controversy, really.
At this point, let him just lie in his own bed this year. He made this bed. It's a shit pie. You know, you're going to go out with the bang one way or the other. I mean, they brought in a ton of transfers, so we'll see how that fucking goes. But I mean, I don't know who else you're going to be bringing in here with all the sanctions that, you know, are still kind of going on, it seems like.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I mean, everything in Arizona right now, aside from the Suns, is just like a shit show sports wise
okay,
yeah,
so do you
people
So I believe the winner for Pick'ems, believe it or not, was Will. He was the only person to pick the Rams to win the Super Bowl. So there you go, folks. That's how our basically second half of the season went. When Will started winning all these Pick'ems, and then he wins the playoff one. So.
See, this is cursed.
To hell.
I mean, everything went to hell as soon as I started winning. I gotta stop winning, folks. It's not good. Man,
pick the Jets and Giants more next season, please. God damn it.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you guys are listening, we appreciate it. You know, it's kind of a last second bang, you know. Everyone's I feel like I've been fairly quiet on all this shit on Twitter. For one, it's all just hearsay, you know, and it just sucks that maybe Kyler has brought a little bit of this on himself. Because I'm not absolving anybody of this. Kyler Murray is obviously, I put this tweet out there yesterday, but if for any quarterback who has at least four career starts under their belt as a Cardinal, he has the highest passer quarterback rating of them all. Kurt Warner, second. Carson Palmer, three. Kevin fucking Cobb, four. And then you got to go back to the 80s with Lomax as the fifth. And this is a whole fucking franchise. when you look at it, it just kind of puts it in perspective, and it's like only the fucking Cardinals would somehow be fucking this up or just making this unnecessary drama where Kyler has to come out and make a statement. The Cardinals have to come out and make a statement that, you know, they're supporting Kyler behind, you know, it's disappointing all around, and it starts at the fucking top. You know, I can't say anything else from that, but it's every offseason it seems like there's smoke, and when there's smoke, it's usually the smoke of fucking Steve Keim. So we'll see. It's going to be a long offseason. I'm sure we're going to have some more of these, but we appreciate you guys tuning in for sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think we all needed to get this off our chest. This is just, man.
The
offseason's like 2 days old, and I'm already exhausted.
Yeah. No, I think the whole Kyler scrubbing his Instagram, to be honest with you, is like really like not that deep. People do it all the time. Like, that's like the new trend, is having your Instagram like clean. You know, he probably wants a fresh start.
If he hears it from his agent, you know what I mean? You'd be like, oh, okay, whatever. It's not a big fucking deal.
According to John Gambadoro here from some anonymous source, again, how credible are these anonymous sources? That he actually regrets.
That guy.
Yeah.
That sounds like such a Kyler. That sounds like such a fucking thing coming from the organization. Oh, Gambo, tell him that Kyler really regrets this, you know, like absolving the fucking Cardinals organization. And how much can we really trust Gambo after the DeAndre Hopkins bullshit? You know,
that was so fucking dumb. I'm still not over that. That was so fucking stupid.
Wildly unnecessary.
Right? Like, wasn't even close.
What do you gain from that? Other than people thinking you're a fucking idiot now.
Exactly.
Somebody must have fed him wrong bad shit. And I honestly think that's just...
Use your eyes, dumbass. He was on crutches a week ago.
Right. Yeah. And then even the whole Justin Pugh thing, because I'm pretty sure Justin Pugh's still under contract for next year, and Gambo's out here calling everyone out, saying, no, I know, you know.
You are wrong.
Yeah. So, because I heard that too. I heard him say... and I still listen to fucking shows. More times than not, I turn on the radio because all they do is talk about, you know, the Kyler shit. And it's like, really, it's not, it really isn't that deep overall. You know, right. Like you said, Jackie, the media has agendas, and medias go out there and they're pushing this shit for hours at a time. And people get a hold of it. People believe anything, bite on anything these days, you know, just to be the first one to report someone and get some fucking likes. So.
Yeah, and then you get these morons that believe it. And what sucks is that you're going to turn the fans, some fans, against Kyler, and the media is against him. And then he's going to be like, why the fuck am I even here if nobody wants me here?
Exactly.
And he's going to leave, and he's going to go win Super Bowl somewhere else, and such is life.
Yeah. Be happy with what we got, folks. I mean, just remember, it was Josh Rosen only, barely 3 years ago. So we had to endure that. We've taken long strides. Sure, it's not progressed as, you know, some would have liked. And Joe Burrow's out here getting to the Super Bowl and hit year two. But I saw a stat that the last 16 Super Bowl losers have not won another Super Bowl or been back. But that can't be right, because Tom Brady won a fucking Super Bowl after losing. So what was that stat? Anybody else see that stat?
I didn't see that one.
It was like
there was a fucking there was a Stephen A. Smith segment about Kyler where I agreed with most of it, and then he like defended Wilkes, and it's like, what football were you watching that year? That was like some of the worst.
It's race motivated on both sides. I mean, I hate to say it,
yeah.
You know, why even bring in Wilkes? Yeah, I mean, seriously, that was, if anyone who watched that season, that was for us who had to fucking endure it, you know, and even talk about it, write about it. It was fucking awful.
I think that a lot of other coaches would have gotten a longer leash than Wilkes did. But on the same token, I think it was the right move to fire. I know it was the right move to fire.
Oh yeah, he lost.
Because look at like Carolina and Matt Rhule right now. I mean, he's done nothing to prove himself, and he still has a job because he's like sweaty and the owner likes him or something. I'm gently paraphrasing the owner's reason for hiring him.
He's sweaty.
He's like, get that man a towel. The owner was like, the owner was like, you know, this guy's sweaty, he's unkempt, he used to be a line cook, he's just like me.
Jesus.
Remember, folks, it can always be worse.
You can be Carolina.
Yep. Man.
I just hope that Michael Bidwell wakes up and he's actually seriously mad with how the season ended, because it's also not just about you know, how the on-field product was at the end of the season. It's the whole perception of this franchise. This franchise is, I mean, it honestly, people look at it as a laughing stock. You know, we have one playoff win last decade.
We've had like 5 years of relevancy.
Yeah, you know, and we're over here acting like we're the fucking New England Patriots and Kyler Murray isn't Tom Brady. It's like, Jesus Christ, people. Devin Booker wouldn't have been able to lead the Suns to even a championship appearance in his third year in the league. And I know Kyler's older, but I think he's like only half a year younger than that Booker right now.
That is so fucking crazy.
Well, I mean, when you're year three in the league and your head coach is someone who's never been in the league and through these times, I mean, I think it's pretty impressive what he's been able to do in his first 3 years. It just hopefully it, you know, ends up turning into playoff success here in the future. All of this shit that he's dealing with, and hope he can bury this fucking chip inside of him to be even greater than what he is, you know? And, you know, Carson Palmer, I saw people like, oh, you know, when I did that post about the quarterback ratings, I had some comments in there. Oh, that's fucking bullshit. No, that's a worthless stat. Somebody said, Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer and Carson Palmer is a fucking tough son of a bitch or something like that. And it's like, Carson Palmer also had this stigma of not being able to win a big game for basically until he came here. And even then when he came here, it was the Hail Larry that gave him his first career playoff win, I believe.
Yeah.
One and only big, in hindsight, one and only big game he's ever
had. Yeah, people just love this guy like he's God, you know, best thing to Jesus. And, you know, Kyler's different. Carson Palmer's a tough son of a bitch. You know, he's going to stand in that pocket. He's going to take those hits. He's going to do what you ask of him, but he couldn't hold a fucking nickel to fucking what Kyler can do on the field, you know, with some of his throws and athleticism. And it's going to take him, even next year, he's not even going to be a total finished product, probably. But hopefully we keep seeing this growth, because if you see more growth next season than what he showed this season, it's truly going to be, you know, even in the more elite of a year. And at the end of the day, it comes down to playoff wins. So I just hope, you know, lessons were learned by everyone during this playoff, that, you know, playoff loss to the Rams. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm not happy that never in my wildest fucking dreams ever will I ever root for any LA team to win. But at the end of the day, you know, we lost to the Super Bowl champion. So fuck it. You know, hopefully Kyler can take that as motivation and realize, you know, this, he beat this team before and it can be done again. And we just hopefully have some better injury luck next year as well.
And let's be real here. I mean, the Rams, just hearing like everything that's happening with them, the stuff that's happening with them is kind of up in the air, and it took the league fucking rigging it for the Rams for them to win it. I mean, that was the most bullshit fucking.
They basically had to sell their soul.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They had to sell their soul for like 1 year of a shit. And it doesn't even. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's because I haven't been browsing Twitter and just living in it that much, but it doesn't really feel like as big a moment as it was like last year when the Bucks won, or like the year prior when the Chiefs won. It feels like nobody really cares.
No one gives a shit. Like, if the Bengals would have won, everybody would be hyped. But
like the
LA, LA and LeBron right? coming out trying to fucking take credit. Yo, let's have a joint fucking. Fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. Go hang out with your 10th seeded team right now, bitch.
Bitch.
Man.
Bitch.
So what I'm getting from this is the Cardinals would have won the Super Bowl if they had just had Jamal Murray.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. But I mean, Cardinals do need it. They do need to get another wide receiver in here, one way or another. That's an actual playmaker. You know,
if we can get Allen Robinson in the offseason, I think that's the move we got to make.
I'd be for that. Yeah, I don't know if he's lost a step or if it's just his QBs there. Because how old is he now? He's like 31, 30, I think.
Jesus, is he? God, that's crazy. He's 28.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So if he's on a four-year deal. So if he's
he
on
just
a four-year deal.
He's irrelevance out there. Yeah. Okay.
He, yeah. I mean, I think getting him would be good. I mean, this is not a good free agency class for like what we need, really. As far as I'm aware,
make trades, Kyle. We're here. Just make them all. Just fucking do it. That's the one thing he excels at. So yeah, I mean, if you're really all in, man,
put your balls on the table.
What are you gonna do? Draft another fucking linebacker?
Vaughn Miller to the Cardinals.
I mean,
let's go get Antonio Brown.
See, that's another thing about those like quiet players. I was getting at like quiet players don't win fucking championships, man. Like the last fucking three wide receivers to win it. You got Tyreek Hill, you got fucking Antonio Brown, and you got OBJ. You got the loud motherfuckers winning it. I want a guy with some goddamn confidence. I want a guy who like lets you know he's there. I don't know. At this point,
yeah,
I'm just
like
kind of fucking rambling.
We'll have another off-season podcast probably before free agency starts, and we'll jump a little more into that. But I think right now we're just kind of all wanting to get all this shit off our chest. And there's a lot of directions that, you know, Steve Keim can go this off-season. And really, for him to have any flexibility, he's going to definitely have to make trades and restructure a lot of contracts. That's the one thing I know.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to work some cap space miracles to get where we need to be.
Yeah, but according to Chuck Harris, cap's myth. We can make it work.
Fuck Chuck.
You know, if I'm the Cardinals, dude, I'd be doing everything in my fucking power to fucking rebrand, do new uniforms this offseason. Even if it's wasn't their plan heading in. But if you really, you need to be all in with Kyler. And he needs to know that. If you come in and right off the bat, fucking, you know, before whatever, they usually, I think, drop them before the first preseason games or whatnot. But you need to rebrand and kind of, that kind of would, because a lot of people still kind of think that, you know, maybe he did delete it because it's going to be a whole new rebranding. He's talked in the past how he hates the Cardinals uniforms and whatnot. I think that would be a good look. That would be a good, you know,
If Michael Bidwell wants to win back the fan support, he needs to put the flag patch on the uniform.
Oh, please.
Bring back the patch.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, I'm looking at the one right now from the 90s. I got a Jameer Miller autograph fucking photo from the 90s, and that fucking State of Arizona patch with that bird on the fucking sleeve as well.
My
shirt, red fucking pants is dope.
My old man actually got like a Cardinals jersey, like autographed to hell and back in the 90s. I think it's somewhere in my closet.
Of who?
I don't know. There was a couple of names on there.
Nice.
But
we have a helmet that my brother made. Fucking my older brother made. He like hand painted it, and we ended up getting a bunch of helmets on in the fucking early mid 90s. I think it's in the attic over at my parents. I'll have to look for that.
That's fucking nice, man. Shit, we're just talking, we're just shooting shit right now. Should we close out or should we keep going?
Yeah, let's close out. Yeah, sunstart 15 minutes.
Yeah, Chef. Shit, man, I can't wait for that. It's gonna be so nice to just focus on the Suns for like the next 6 months or whatever.
I was hoping that'd be the case, but Jesus Christ, the Cardinals just cannot stay out the news. One step forward, two steps back with this organization, man. It's frustrating as hell. It's like, just stay out the limelight for a week, please. Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Hey, but we did take the steal some thunder from the Rams winning because everybody's been talking about the goddamn Cardinals.
There you go. We'll take it. Fuck it. Yeah. It's all about playoff wins next year, though.
Suck it, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. Pat Stafford. Stat Padford.
Yes, sir.
That bitch ass hoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's close out. So this has been a rare mini-sode of the Redbird Red Zone podcast. My name is Will. You can find me on Twitter at LiveOnThatSwing.
Yo, it's the most hated Mac on Twitter. You can find me at AZ Sports Fiend.
And I'm Jackie. You can find me on Twitter at JSanDiego. That's two O's.
And this has been another fucking stellar episode of the Redbird Red Zone podcast, a Max Hall production. And we will see you all in April. Peace out.
Peace.